Grace and peace to you from God our Heavenly Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our sermon text for the second Sunday after the Epiphany is found in the Apostle Paul's letter to the Corinthians, chapter 6, reading verses 12 through 20. All things are permitted for me, but not all things are beneficial. All things are permitted for me, but I will not allow anything to control me. Foods are for the belly, and the belly is for foods, but God will do away with both of them. However, the body is not for sexual immorality, but for the Lord, and the Lord is for the body. God raised up the Lord and will also raise us up by his power. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I then remove the members of Christ and make them members of a prostitute? Certainly not. Or do you not know that he who is joined to a prostitute is one body with her? For it says, the two will become one flesh. But he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. Flee from sexual immorality. Every sin that a person commits is outside the body, but he who commits sexual immorality sins against his own body. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, who is within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God with your body. This is our text. Dear people of God, I don't think that prostitution is a big problem in our part of the world. I've heard stories that it was a big problem about 100 years ago around here. And maybe it still is, I don't know. I just haven't seen it. But I think we have a lot more problems than prostitution. Prostitution was a huge problem for the Corinthians. It was a part of the heathen worship of that city. That's how they worshiped the gods of Greece, Zeus, Hermes, Aphrodite. They went to the temples of those gods, and there they engaged with the temple prostitutes. That was their worship, and they liked it. And that's why it caught many Christians also. It was a sixth commandment problem tied together with the first commandment problem. And here the Apostle Paul comes to these Corinthians saying, you can't go to the temple prostitutes anymore. The gospel has always been countercultural. The gospel and what God says has always been the exact opposite of what this world calls popular and good. So our times are different from theirs, quite different. And yet the truths of what Paul says are exactly the same for them and for us. Our bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit, and we are to treat them as such. Your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is within you, whom you have from God. You are not your own, for you were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God with your body. See, Christians are different from the people of the world around us. What they serve, we do not serve. And what we serve, they do not serve. We serve the Lord, who purchased us with his holy blood and righteousness. The world is not interested at all in that. And we should not be surprised that they are not interested. Now, we do have some of the same interests as the world. We both want a safe and prosperous nation to live in. We both like football and shopping. We both want happy, healthy families. But there are many things that make us different from the world, especially when it comes to what Paul's talking about here, and that is serving. As Christians purchased by Christ, we live to serve him who paid such a price to save our souls and our bodies. As people of the world, they live to serve themselves. And that difference will show itself in so many ways. You ever seen one of these guys on TV who goes traveling the world over looking for exotic foods? Who does that? Except someone who wants to serve himself. The same also is true of prostitution. It just is plain and simple selfishness. Many people live to break the commandments. They live for the next thrill. They live for seeing what they can get away with. And sometimes we envy them until we see the results of their selfish life, which usually means loneliness. Yeah, I don't think that the big problem around us when it comes to the sixth commandment, rather, is prostitution. In our world, men and women living together outside of marriage is much more of a problem, much more rampant. It's the same sin. It's taking the temple of God that he has chosen to be his own and using it just for selfish purposes. Sin is sin. And it will always be sin, no matter what the world calls old-fashioned or modern. The enemies of God will always call sin good and healthy. And the enemies of God will always call what God wills old and not worth your time. Now, I don't want to leave this topic without reminding you that our dear Lord Jesus died for these sins also. God shed the blood of his one and only Son upon the cross to pay for all sins. And that includes sins against the sixth commandment, like prostitution, living in sin, sex before marriage, sex outside of marriage, filthy, lustful thoughts, despising your husband, or silently cursing your wife. It's all sin. And damnable, according to God's word. But God's mercy can cover even these sins that the Lord especially hates. The Lord's blood and righteousness is powerful enough to cover all of you sinners. In Jesus' blood, in Jesus' holiness, so that you are the pure people of God in the Father's eyes. You are forgiven in Jesus and declared righteous through faith in Christ alone. And therefore Paul can say, all things are permitted for me, but not all things are beneficial. Now Luther had a similar statement that we'll talk about in a little bit. Paul says, all things are permitted for me. That's in a quotation, but it's not from the Bible. It seems to have been a saying that was said around the city of Corinth. So Paul takes a saying that these people knew, and he talks about it in Christ. See, Paul puts on his little rider. All things are permitted for me, close quotes, but not all things are beneficial. So the statement is true. All things are permitted for the Christian. In Christ, you have total freedom. In fact, you have more freedom than the people of the world, than the people of our nation, because you are also free from sin. Sin does not control you. Jesus freed you from sin by his blood on the cross and by his resurrection from the grave. Sin does not master you. You are able to fight it. You are free. Truly free. You have no Old Testament laws telling you how much money you have to give to the Lord. Those laws were all eliminated by the appearance of the Lord's Christ. You have no laws telling you what you may or may not eat. If you want to eat blood sausage, or sushi or raw venison livers, you can do that or not do that. God's word does not command it one way or the other. Nor does Scripture tell us when we must worship. This false American idea that Sunday is the day for worship and that stores must be closed on Sunday is totally made up. That is not at all in Scripture. We are free. You can truly do whatever you want. The question is, what do you want to do? All things are permitted for me, but not all things are beneficial. Yeah, I don't have to give a specified amount of money to the Lord. That's true. But it's not beneficial to me to give nothing, to hoard my money. Because if I gave nothing to the Lord, my heart would very quickly turn away from the Lord and from His church. If I was only focused on myself, my soul would very quickly perish. I don't have to give anything, but it's not beneficial for me to give nothing. I can eat whatever I want. I'm free, Paul adds here. Foods are for the belly and the belly is for foods, but God will do away with both of them. That apparently was another saying of Paul's day, meaning that food is for this world. So eat it and enjoy it. But what if I chose to eat only Twinkies? I can do that. I'm free to choose that. But I would very quickly get sick, and I would lose all my energy, and I would die, which is not beneficial at all for my God-given and redeemed body. See, along with freedom comes a great deal of responsibility. When we are children, we're not free. We have someone telling us every day what we must do in order to help us, in order to guide us. And many people, when they lose that guidance, they go crazy. And they choose all the wrong things, which are not beneficial for them. And they only learn that after it's far too late. God's word does not tell us when we have to worship. We are free to choose that for ourselves. However, when my old man of sin hears that we don't have to worship at any specific time, my old man jumps at that opportunity to wave it back into the Lord's face. Aha! You can't tell me when I have to worship. I don't have to at all. And that's true. No one has to worship. But following that line of thinking, no one has to go to heaven either. The Lord owes us nothing. If we don't want Him, it's no skin off of His teeth for us to leave His word and for Him to go find other souls to save. No one is making you love Jesus and His word. It's a free country. You do what you want. That's why it's so important that the Holy Spirit is living in us. Only the Holy Spirit can overcome my old man of unbelief and sin and selfishness and give me the desire to worship and to praise the Lord. For the Holy Spirit does make me love Jesus and His word and His church. No one forces us to come to church at gunpoint, but the Holy Spirit makes me come to church. He makes me worship. I have a need to. I have a joy to. All because the Spirit of God is living in me. Now, Luther said, a Christian is a perfectly free Lord of all, subject to none. A Christian is a perfectly dutiful servant of all, subject to all. That means no one can tell me what I have to do to get to heaven. Nothing more needs to be done for me to be saved. I don't have to give a certain amount of money in order to be called God's child. I don't have to have any masses said in my name in order to be acceptable to God. When Jesus said it is finished, he meant it is finished. Our salvation is won. Heaven is secure. We are saved in Christ alone. But then, seeing what Christ has done for me, the worst of all sinners in the world, I will now be the servant of all. When I see a fellow servant of God struggling, or needing even the smallest of favors, it will be my joy to help. Not because I have to, not because God is watching and shaking his fist. No one is shaming me into help. I do it because I am a thankful Christian, because I owe Christ everything. Now, I could use my Christian freedom to become a hermit and never see or help anyone. But there is nothing else I need to do in order to earn God's favor. But Paul says that would not be beneficial for me. Instead, I will use my freedom to love and to serve Christ by helping and serving his people. You are the temple of the Holy Spirit who lives in you. Show the world what Christ has done for you by what you do for everyone else. Amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.